see, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns and those who dig. You dig.
Catapults of propaganda. The truth out there.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Take the red pill. The military industrial complex. This way, dictatorship would be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Blondie Gilbert. And welcome to the bunker.
It is 5:10 of 06, and Sharon's hair is blonde. That's a very pretty look.
Why, thank you, honey. Well, you know, you got to try things. When you can try these little rinses that wash out after a few washings, I can try. I might be green tomorrow, honey.
Well, you'd fit right in. We go to the band concert at the high school.
I know, except not green, though.
No?
No, I need to be red, white, and blue. I could do my hair red, white, and blue.
That would be really...
That would be very patriotic because they are the Patriots.
That's true. Well, as we go to press here in St. Louis tonight, we've got a kind of a wet, rainy night here. And, thankfully, we haven't had the kind of weather that they had in Texas overnight last night.
Oh, my goodness. What they had some F3, F4, they're saying now.
F something. Now, I'm sure that there was a few Fs they were throwing around.
Boy, you know, it hit in the middle of the night. Generally, tornadoes don't hit in the middle of the night.
No. And the communities that were hit were in rural areas without warning sirens. But even in the middle of the night, when a warning siren goes off. Now, here we're in a metro area, and the siren is far enough away that unless we're listening for it, we could very easily miss it.
Well, you know, this afternoon it went off, and it took me a little while. I don't know how long it had been going. Suddenly it dawned on me, the sirens are going off because the air conditioning system was on. Mm-hmm. And so that little, it's at the same sort of pitch as the air conditioning fans. Another time you woke me up in the middle of the night, and you said, honey, the sirens are going off. We all have to go downstairs. Mm-hmm. This was a couple of years ago. And I like white noise to sleep to. So very often there's a fan going in our room. And actually, you've gotten used to it, too, over the years. So, again, it was a pitch that I just didn't hear. You had heard the dogs barking, which is why you got up.
Right. And it's...
So if you don't have dogs, get them.
Get some. Best security system for your home.
That is the truth. Anything comes around your house, anyone comes around your house, any unseen things.
That's right.
Because there was that time, I know this is totally off topic, but we have talked about, and in fact, you and Tom Horn were talking about this in your interview yesterday with him on the phone. There are times that animals see things we just don't. And remember that time that Murphy suddenly jumped on the back of our couch and was barking at thin air?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As though he were barking at something that we just couldn't see.
It was like something out of the movie Poltergeist, because the dog did that at one point. He was barking at the wall, and it made no sense. Well, Murphy was barking at thin air, and he did that again a couple of days afterward. It was really creepy.
Well, Tom Horn has told the story of when he was leading a deliverance team. He used to work he basically was an exorcist for a while. For
Tom Horn?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, see, this is news to me because I did not get to hear you interviewing him on the phone yesterday because of our phone problems.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to hearing it
got
once it's all put together.
5.8 gigahertz telephones, 3 extensions, and it turns out after we get them here that you can't put more than one phone on the same line.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's no good for interviews.
Yeah, so we're going to find new homes for those phones because they're really good phones.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go back to using our old ones with new batteries in them.
Yeah. Yeah. But the story goes that while they were working on deliverance of a woman who was possessed by an entity that at the point that she was delivered and, the Holy Spirit worked and the demon left or whatever it was, Suddenly, he said, every dog, and this is a kind of a rural area, every dog, horse, animal that they could see within sight of the place where they were suddenly began going nuts. There were horses across the road, and suddenly they just began bucking and running, just very agitated. And whatever left this woman right at the same time. So it seems like a reasonable conclusion that they were able to sense whatever it was that left this woman. And that's why he speculates that maybe part of the transgenic movement, the reason for the transgenic movement, is to mingle the human DNA line with that of an animal that is more sensitive to the spirit world.
Boy, that's really interesting. That series starts on Friday, right?
That is correct, yes. Tonight, we've got part two of our interview with Ken Parsons of WarZoneWinner.com. We'll continue discussing his analysis of the coming timeline of the end. He's got, as we discussed last night, as he kind of laid out last night, his idea about Mystery Babylon actually being the internet.
You know, isn't that unique?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you what, one of my favorite things about the people that we've had over the last year on this show is we're getting many really novel approaches to end time theology. And I'm so glad. I don't agree with everybody that we have on.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always agree with me, and that's fine. You and I don't always agree on everything. But you know what? They're bringing fresh ideas to the table. I'm just so glad about
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, and it's something that we're going to continue through the first week of June, and we will take little bits and pieces of the puzzle and try to fit them together as best we can. But there will be some different ideas. We're going to talk about literal stargates, like on mm-hmm. in the movie and the TV show. We're going to talk about Christians in America and around the world being set up to take the fall for the coming, what looks like the coming nuclear mm-hmm. exchange with Iran, and how that's going to play into end time prophecy. We're going to talk about the possible resurrection of an ancient Egyptian pharaoh. So, some very interesting things that all have pieces that may or may not fit into your picture of the end time, but it's a fascinating study, and we will all learn something as we go along.
You know, and if that doesn't give you enough to chew on, after that we're going to go into a conspiracy series, and after that we're going into a Genesis 6 series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, we're going to have a lot of stuff to wrap our minds
around. And then the World Series after that, where the Cubs lose.
Cubs ain't getting there. That's
no, they're not.
Well, gotten their June swoon out of the way here in May, so that we don't have to agonize any longer.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
You and I can go on to other things.
Well, you see what happened? Derek, their first baseman, Derek Lee, yeah, got injured, and the team fell apart. So it just goes to show.
You know, yep. The name Derek, what can we say? Yeah, well, speaking of end times,
mm-hmm.
I think when many people visualize the end of the world, they picture a mushroom cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you and I recently talked about one, the 700-ton gorilla.
That's
was
right.
Going to be set off in the Nevada desert. Well, mm-hmm. apparently there are some downwinders who are suing the government, and so that the test has been postponed.
So Divine Strike is on hold.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I'm not too surprised
really
by that, actually. The United States is a nation of NIMBYs, not in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And
unless you pay me enough.
Exactly, unless you pay me enough. But frankly, if we live downwind from the test site, I wouldn't be very happy about it either.
I wouldn't be happy about it.
So I can't say that I blame the tribes. It's the Winnemucca Indian Colony that has filed a lawsuit, and also several other, you know, property owners. But the Winnemucca Indian Colony apparently is leading a lawsuit, which has been filed in federal court, to block the test.
They weren't ever represented by Jack Abramoff for anything, were they?
I don't know.
We'll have to do a little research on that.
I don't know.
Anyway, I can't blame them. I really can't.
But sadly, in America today, a lot of policy is determined by whether or not it's cost-effective to litigate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a perfect example. A friend of mine in the radio business, and this is one reason why I'm out of radio, mm-hmm. had a contract, and he thought it was a really good contract because it guaranteed him 1 year's severance if he was ever terminated during the contract. Well, the employer decided that a change needed to be made. They called him in, said, we're going to have to let you go. They terminated him and offered him 2 weeks' severance. He said, you can't do that. I have a contract that guarantees me 12 months' severance.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they just folded their arms, smiled, and said, so sue us. It's like that scene from the remake of the movie Willard, where Willard goes in to challenge the boss. He said, and the boss, played by R. Lee Ermey, one of our favorite guys, says, so you get yourself a $200 an hour lawyer. My $400 an hour lawyer will tie it up in court until I die, and you'll win. Someday, you'll win. 5, 10, 15 years from now, you'll win. And, of course, you know, you can't work in the meanwhile, so what are you going to do? So anyway, it boils down to this. Is it more expensive to fight it in court, more expensive to just give in, or just settle out of court and pay it off? And that's probably how it's going to be resolved.
It probably will. In fact, the new date is, tentative date is June 23rd, so they must know something to be giving a date at all. There was an awful story in the news today, locally. A local school, 12 second grade boys are alleged to have assaulted an 8-year-old girl. 12 on 1.
This is a stomach-twisting story. This is really hideous. I mean, it's bad enough. Say a story like the case that has been all over the news from Duke University comes out. And regardless of the truth of the story, I mean, the details that were presented in the media were horrifying. But when you see the same type of story come out and it's 12-year-old boys and an 8-year-old girl... You just have to step back and say, what is going on in this country? Where have we gone? How did we get here?
I don't know, but prayers out of school, sex is on TV, sex is on Disney Channel.
Even the Disney Channel, the kids that are presented on the Disney Channel and ABC's Family Channel are dressing in ways that I would find inappropriate for our daughter to dress.
Well, the little Mouseketeers that grew up.
Like,
you know,
Britney Spears.
Exactly. It's sex, sex, sex. And yet at the same time, they're supposed to portray virginal morals. Remember for a long time, she tried to scam the world by saying, oh, yeah, I'm a virgin.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
We were born at night, but not last night.
No.
It all ties in together. It's a moral malaise that has is affecting not just our country, but, you know, the entire world. My sister traveled to France a number of times. She speaks French fluently. And she said when she went there back in the 80s as part of her degree, she said, you know, they would have just on regular daytime television commercials for, say, orange juice. And they would feature topless women, you know, flaunting around. Like, what in the world does that have to do with orange juice? But then you watch football on Sunday afternoon, okay, what does the woman in the bikini have to do with a cold glass of beer?
And they just look at Americans as we're just so uptight.
Yeah, Bible in one hand, gun in the other. That's how they see us.
Exactly. In 1980, when I was with the gospel group that traveled around, we went to England. And while we were there, we, as always, we stayed in people's homes. And at that time, in a home at one of those homes, we were watching television and topless women cavorting around. I don't even know what show it was. And my friend Cindy and I looked at each other, gasping. We'll go to bed now. And our host, wonderful people, Christian people, I'm not sure they even knew.
Yeah.
Why it was we suddenly just decided to go to bed, because they were so accustomed to seeing that on their television.
It's like that old commercial, you know, with Madge, the lady who does your nails. You're soaking in it.
Ah!
Yeah. It's the culture.
You're soaking in evil.
Looking overseas to the Middle East, a couple of stories of interest. The Mirror in the UK is reporting that as many as 200,000 AK-47s may have fallen into the hands of terrorists in Iraq. The interesting thing is that these were weapons that were supposed to have been secretly flown from an American airbase in Bosnia, but the 4 plane loads of AK-47s have vanished.
You know, that's really interesting. Who was it we recently heard? May have been on Steve Quayle or one of those shows that we... listen to, love that show, that the original Magog invasion was, may have been actually one of the people we interviewed. Please excuse me if my memory is failing me. I'm blonde now. No, there was a story about tunnels that were discovered between Lebanon and northern Israel, and that they were stocked with AK-47s and all sorts of military equipment.
Right. Things that were discovered.
Russian.
Yeah.
Issue.
That were discovered during a military incursion, mm-hmm. but it was kind of kept quiet because they didn't want the conflict to spread any
wider. Right, that the Russians had been ready to invade, but they just somehow. You know, God's timing is his.
Right, right. Might have been Ken Parsons that we were talking to about.
You know, I think it might have been.
So you may hear that coming up in the part of the interview.
Oh, no, I'm giving it away. Anyway,
this was 99 tons of AK-47s that were supposed to have been flown from Bosnia into Iraq for Iraqi security forces, but they were contracted out from the Department of Defense to private arms dealers, put on board planes belonging to a Moldovan airliner that was criticized by the UN in 2003 for smuggling arms into Liberia under the government of Charles Taylor. So these arms have apparently disappeared. It would appear that somebody gave the Moldovans and made them an offer they couldn't refuse. So 200,000 AK-47s are now missing and unaccounted for, presumably in the possession of someone who intends to use them somewhere in the Middle East.
Well, if they could just send a couple of those arms to the Cubs.
You'd use a pitcher or two, not the kind of arms they need. Although,
no, that's true.
That might be the only way they catch the Cardinals. Albert Pujols?
I've never seen a ball like that before. Whoa! Yeah.
The Iranian oil bourse that we had been talking about sometime back in March was scheduled originally to open in March the 21st, I believe, apparently is ready to go now, finally. The oil ministry in Iran has issued the license for the bourse to open and is probably going to open within the next week. We're trying to find a story on that. I'm seeing some details that aren't quite precise, but it looks like it is about to open and may already have done so today.
Well, you know, what's really interesting about that timing is that Vladimir Putin just came out and said he wants Russia mm-hmm. to have an energy bourse, gas and oil, and for it to trade in rubles.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be the gas and oil king mm-hmm. of Europe.
The oil czar?
The oil czar of Russia and mm-hmm. Europe. In fact, we've talked about it before. Gazprom is providing the natural gas to England mm-hmm. and most of Europe.
Yeah.
And they have been to Eastern Europe for a long time.
Right. And they've got some major finds on even in Eastern Russia where they could be supplying Japan's needs here pretty soon, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've got a lot of resources there. But the fact is that so do we here in the United States. There are reports that are being really underreported here in the American media of huge reserves of oil on federal lands in the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, we don't want to drill in the Rockies because it's pretty there. But the size of these reserves would essentially make our dependence on the Middle East unnecessary. But the point is that we don't want to just have enough for us. We want to control what everyone else needs, too.
Mm-hmm.
When I say we, of course, I mean the guys who are, you know, the oligarchs calling the shots. So we'll see how the bourses, the Iranian bourse and the Russian bourse, affect the dollar, which is already sliding downward. Of course, it makes it cheaper for us to produce movies in Canada, I guess. It makes our goods less expensive going to Canada, which
That's
is
true.
Okay for us in the steel business because they've got all kinds of oil that they're digging up
they
and
do.
Drilling
you,
in Canada.
You trade with Canada a lot.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good deal for us. But for anyone else who depends on the dollar, it's not such a good deal.
Well, you know, the UN is, here's another story that actually is part of the end times discussions that we're having with our guests during this series. The United Nations is warning of world grain crisis because there's so many areas that produce grain mm-hmm. that have had tremendous drought. And it's just going to go way down. Now, you take a look at, it's talking about Somalia, Kenya, Djibouti. But take a look at the United States. Now, I remember what it was like to farm back mm-hmm. in Nebraska. And when you have an extremely wet spring,
mm-hmm.
you cannot put the seed in the ground.
Right, yeah. I mean, normally you'd think rain, good for farmers.
Mm-hmm. If it goes in late, suddenly your season is shorter.
Right.
It may not mature the way it's supposed to. It may not grow the way it's supposed mm-hmm. to. And very often when you have a really wet spring, you have a really dry summer.
Mm.
This is a bad combination. I know it feels really good when your grass is really beautifully emerald green. We're liking it. Mm-hmm. Not emerald. That would be Pam. But emerald green,
But not so good when you're actually stuck to a – you have to stick to a schedule as
exactly.
the one
I remember
in.
One year when it was really, really late going in mm-hmm. because you can't get out in the field with your tractor.
No. No. If we were trying to farm out in our backyard right now, it wouldn't
no, it would
go
be
very
really
well because it is really, really wet right here. I do want to mention one story that we didn't get to the last couple of days because I really think this is hideous. And it, again, it speaks to spiritual wickedness in high places. We talked about a movie that was recommended to us a while back called The Constant Gardener, mm-hmm. which dealt with illegal and secret drug tests on people in Africa. And Medical News Today reports that Pfizer is it's been revealed that 10 years ago during an epidemic in Nigeria, Pfizer illegally tested an unapproved drug on children with brain infections. And they were being tested at clinics at which approved and effective drugs were available and being dispensed. This test was administered in violation of Nigerian law, the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, and an International Declaration of Helsinki related to medical research. 5 children died. A number of others went on to develop arthritis. Meanwhile, other children suffering from the same disease were being treated with approved and effective drugs at mm-hmm. that field hospital. The Washington Post reported on this over the weekend, but Pfizer is claiming that the parents of the children agreed mm-hmm. verbally to the testing and deny any wrongdoing. But again, this just sounds so much like the plot of the movie Constant Gardener.
Oh, that movie is so disturbing. If you haven't seen that movie, mm-hmm. go rent it. Yeah. You know, do that this weekend because, well, it'll make you angry.
Yeah, and this really does make you angry. When you think about it, I mean, you just think about it, how much money the drug companies save by doing tests this way rather than doing them in a Western country mm-hmm. where you actually have to pay for volunteers in a controlled hospital setting.
Oh, not only that, I honestly think that there are some people, and this is really spiritual wickedness in high places, who look at African communities and just see them as disposable people.
Sure. Hey, they're going to die anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disgusting.
That is disgusting. So go see that movie and follow up on that story. One more thing that many of you may be wondering why we haven't really addressed this yet, and it's the whole Hookergate thing mm-hmm. that is permeating the news a bit. They're not getting into it nearly as deeply as they should, but they right. won't. We know that now that they just simply won't because mm-hmm. they're owned by the people involved.
yeah. Some
we will
anyway.
Be getting yeah. into this. There's a story that goes into it a little bit on WatcherMagazine.com, but we're going to go into it at length and in depth in a future show or a set of shows because
right.
we're planning on bringing on some guests that this is what they're really looking into right now. We don't want
right.
to go like fools.
Yes, yes.
Until we've really looked at everything.
There are some blogs in the blogosphere, pundits who are speculating as to the reasons why Porter Goss resigned as head of the CIA. One of our sources indicates it was indeed a power struggle mm-hmm. between Porter Goss and John Negroponte, who's the director of national intelligence.
Right.
There are some who are connecting it to Hookergate. We're not going to go there until we can be sure of it. But rest assured, we are looking at it. We're aware of it. We're following it. We just want more documentable fact before we start making
exactly.
opinions.
Here's a teaser question, though. What does Hookergate have to do with a plane load of cocaine?
In Mexico.
Uh-huh. Well, chew on that and listen to part two of our interview with Ken Parsons.
We broke yesterday in the middle of a discussion on how our favorite tool for communicating, the Internet, is actually Mystery Babylon and how it relates to end time prophecy and end time prophecy that points back to modern Babylon and Iraq. Ken Parsons, can you kind of take us in that direction? How is this going to lead to a world government based in Babylon or based in Baghdad or wherever?
The world government, the government itself, the seat of government, will be out of the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
World commerce will be run and controlled out of Babylon. It's highly symbolic because that was the place that God divided the languages and divided mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And the motivation of Satan is to unite mankind as one. What he covets, and he breaks all the commandments. He loves to do it. But he covets the oneness that we have through Christ, through the Messiah. The only way of him establishing this same type of a thing is by using technology to do it. So this is really what we're seeing. And the thing about Iraq is Babylon, of course, being 20 miles south, you'll notice it was a fantastic thing, the way it just shows up on the news. When the generals were all smoking their cigars, if you remember that, this big victory thing, and, you know, they were in his palace.
Mm-hmm.
They even had Passover, and their Jewish soldiers ate their Passover dinner in this palace. But that was his Saddam Hussein's palace in Babylon. That was not in Baghdad. That's what we were seeing.
Okay. In fact, there have been recent stories about activities taking place in Babylon that have to do with archaeological finds and also possibly a ritual that was performed there. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of that at all?
Just somewhat.
Yeah, well, we can almost verify it because we have a contact that has a contact. You know how that works out?
Right.
And we've been told by our contact that, indeed, this did take place.
Yeah.
But we can't prove it ourselves with a picture or anything like that. But supposedly, of course...
It makes so much sense because, you know, it is the seat of Satan.
Yes.
We know that this area is under dark forces. We see that when we look at, the prison that we had over there. And these soldiers that went in there, I mean, just the photographs, you could look in their eyes and see that there was something mm-hmm. spiritual there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were unprepared for that type of darkness. But what we see is it was under Saddam Hussein, it wasn't really possible. He wasn't, it was under a stranglehold. And, of course, Antichrist wants that area. So what we're going to see now is really the European Union begin to exercise control now over this area, probably under the premise of protecting Earth history, of protecting the artifacts, and exercising their force and their weight in this region.
Well, of course, we are building what's supposed to be a big embassy there.
That's right.
But the local people look at it. The local people look at it as just George Bush building a big palace.
Yes, and it's so much deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to end up seeing. And it's amazing when we look at Ezekiel 38 and we look at the Magog Alliance. At the time this was written, you would almost certainly have expected to see Babylon, which would have been the term used for Iraq,
mm-hmm.
in an invasion of Israel. But they're not there. They're not listed. Mm-hmm. So what we see here is, of course, Iraq's in no position to be involved in any type of a military exercise like that. So, you know, we see this ahead of time in Scripture, you know, that they will not be a military force. However, they will be very symbolic in the fact that Babylon is a symbol of the world commerce, and that world commerce is run out of Babylon. In essence, Satan and the Antichrist saying, look, we have overcome the judgment of God. We are united as one. We will do whatever we put our mind to accomplish.
Now, backing up for just a second, you say that the world government will be run out of the EU. Given that the United States is really the only world superpower left, what do you see happening to the United States then to take us out of the way? Because my guess is that we're not going to give up our jewel in Iraq unless we have to.
You just, whether you had meant to do it or not, used the term taken out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the guest that you had on previously was discussing Thessalonians in chapter 2
mm-hmm.
in the mystery of lawlessness. And he was going deeper into the Greek and pointing out that this was a political term, that this had to do with something political in nature.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the United States is we are not present in the tribulation or any of these end time events, at least as any type of a real force. We're not the ones that protect Israel. God's the one that defends Israel mm-hmm. from this Magog invasion.
I'm glad you said that, because there are way too many good-hearted Christians out there that somehow mistakenly think that the United States' sole purpose is to protect Israel. And while I'm grateful that we seem to side with Israel, the fact is that many factions of our government are against Israel.
And that is the spirit of Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
That is so prevalent in the planet today. And now, the thing to remember is that God does have a purpose for America,
mm-hmm.
And he always has. But it seems to be that our purpose has been, in a military sense, to keep the political rise from the Antichrist from coming to fruition. And it's the point when we finally are not capable that we are taken out of the way, that that is able to happen. Now, the way that happens, obviously, is because the forces of the spirit of Antichrist are at work in this country. You know, we see it. And we know that there is division in our government over this type of a thing. And it's not, I guess, the best way to put it is that there are those that want to do the country harm, but there are also those that do not want to do the country harm,
mm-hmm.
that understand this country and really love this country, you know, the way that we were brought up to love it, this country. But it still is going to happen that it says that anybody that blesses Israel will be blessed. Anybody that curses Israel will be cursed. We've been blessed because we have supported Israel. But just a few weeks ago, when the United Nations resolution was passed concerning Iran, the United States, for the first time, cursed Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And this was done because they signed off on the nuclear-free Middle East position. That is code for Israel has to get rid of their nuclear weapons.
Oh, okay.
And that is an official U.S. policy now, nuclear-free Middle East. You will hear much more of that. The political strategy is to put the focus on Israel's nuclear weapons now. It's what you're going to see from the Persians, from the Arabs, from Russia, from China. Look at Israel. They have nuclear weapons. They feel as though that there has been a precedent set by the United States that says we can go into a country simply because they're not letting inspectors in. We can go into a country because they're not transparent enough. They're not doing what they need to do to let us know that they don't have nuclear weapons. So it's in the official position is there are no nuclear weapons in Israel. But we all know that there are. So now they want a United Nations resolution for Israel to let inspectors in. Now Israel starts to say, no, we're not going to do it. Now Israel begins to do these things that America has been saying these other countries are so evil because they're not letting our inspectors in. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. Now you have Russia and Iran and Turkey and the entire Magog alliance saying, well, look, Israel is doing the same thing. And it's because Israel has nuclear weapons that Iran wants them. So that's where we're going to see this whole focus. That is the political ball that we need to keep our eye on, so to speak.
Well, you know, Europe has traditionally been siding with Palestine. And they have, some of them have been withholding money that they've been spending, sending for years, decades. They've been withholding those funds because of Hamas. And in the back channels, they're trying to find ways to get it to the Palestinians even now. So what Derek and I find really interesting right now, and I'd really like to know what your take is on it, isn't it funny that Merkel of Germany has suddenly come out to say, I will support President Bush. She is the only world leader who agrees that President Bush has the right to go in and take out Iran. Germany has traditionally stood against us on a lot of Middle East policies.
Yeah, well,
and the thing to remember is Germany is one of the Magog alliance countries.
Exactly. Now, is that the one that's Togarma or Gomer?
Excuse me?
Now, I'm going back to when I said Gomer. That's right.
Togarma would be Armenia.
That's right.
And, of course, we see Meshech, which is Turkey.
Uh-huh.
And we see those countries aligning even now. You know, we see that alliance taking form. And we also see the threat that Iran has said, you know, we will attack Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You attack us, we attack Israel. So the real question is, will the United States continue to pursue this? Now, we know that the scripture is accurate. So what Merkel is saying and what ends up happening really can be two different things.
Yeah. Well, again, I come back to where is the United States when this all comes down? Because as long as the United States is in the picture, I can't see any alliance of nations going in and trying to take out Israel.
If you go to 2 Thessalonians, it's a scripture that my entire life in whatever church I was at, everybody seemed to have a strong opinion regarding this. And it's verse 7, and you guys are absolutely no stranger to this chapter, chapter 2, verse 7. When we go into the Greek, just like your guest the other night had pointed this out, that that mystery of lawlessness, that lawlessness itself in the Greek, again, coming from a Hebrew history and converting that into the Greek, when we look at this entirely in context, we actually see it referring to a constituted authority.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, if we go to the Amplified, we're going to see it read, for the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority is already at work in the world, but is restrained only until he who restrains is taken out of the way. Now, we've seen, historically, we've looked and we've said, well, maybe that's Christians. But the thing to remember is there are Christians in the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be a point where there are no Christians. I mean, immediately we have 144,000 Jewish evangelists that, you know, just run up Jump Street, begin one of the greatest revivals the world has ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it can't be the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is necessary for somebody to be called into salvation. We see that that has to be done by the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit is still here. We also see that Paul is referring to a previous conversation that he had had, you know, with the Thessalonians. He even says, remember when I was there last time, you know, we talked about this. Okay, now you know what I'm talking about. So there is a body of information that mysteriously isn't in the Scripture because they knew what he was talking about. But he's referring to that type of a conversation. And when we take the Greek, what I've done is I've taken the words themselves. A matter of fact, he, taken out of the way, if we look at the word he, it's monon in Greek. But they use he, but it is a neutral word.
Mm-hmm.
It means neither male nor female.
Oh, okay, so like it.
It's an entity.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I took the words. I didn't change, take away, or add to. I just simply put the definitions in as opposed to the words.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And when we do that, it reads this way. The mystery of the principle of rebellion against the officers properly appointed under the Constitution for the government of the people is at work in the world and is held down by them alone by themselves until they are taken out of the way.
Oh, that's chilling.
And we got to remember, God's power is not constituted. He doesn't get it from us.
That's right.
That is really chilling. I mean, that is a really good definition of the United States.
So, yeah, listeners, 2 Thessalonians 7, that's your homework. Study on that.
Yeah.
Because that really opens up a new perspective on that verse, which, of course, then changes your understanding of what's going to happen and how things are going to be taken, how things will unfold.
But, you know, Ken, there are so many believers out there who are they're just oppressed with this just foreknowledge almost, and I hesitate to say that because I just don't know for sure, but there are so many believers that really do anticipate the United States being taken out of the way.
Well, and it says, you know, my hope and my prayer is that this is the result of the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
well.
The best
there are
case
so many believers here. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
And the thing, and two, with the European Union, and we know that they're the last world power, and we see, you know, when they, you know, their expansionism over there that they're going through, they keep devouring countries. They're doing it politically, but we have to remember we're in NATO. NATO. For all intents and purposes, other than the European Union troops that they now have, that they're using for peacekeeping missions, like down in Darfur, I think they went down there with some Russians.
Yeah, real
places like this. The NATO is really, it's the official military arm of that European Union.
That mm-hmm. is correct.
The only countries not in the European Union, in NATO, is like Canada, the United States, and I think one other minor country. And we saw after September 11th that we actually had NATO planes patrolling our skies. So, and one of the misconceptions also, is my perspective is, we're under the impression that this rapture is a solitary, it's an isolated thing. There's this massive rapture, which already tells you that there's going to be destruction because if, you know, a person's flying a plane and they're saved, they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Same with cars, same with all of this. But what we're missing, too, is that the rapture seems to coincide with other cataclysmic events. Could be an asteroid strike, could be limited nuclear strikes.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a combination of all of them. Messiah even made the comment that when he's talking about the rapture, that wherever the bodies are, there will the vultures be.
Mm-hmm.
So at this time, there's obviously massive death that's involved. So if there is a rapture, and then also nuclear. And, of course, if an asteroid enters the atmosphere, you know, Ronald Reagan got woke up once under the impression we were under attack.
Right.
That it was only an asteroid that entered the atmosphere and exploded.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take a psycho with his finger on the button to start a nuclear war. It just takes an asteroid big enough to send off the right alarms to make mm-hmm. somebody think that they're under a nuclear attack.
Right.
Of course, we have a big comet that's shedding pieces even now, and some of them may come pretty close.
Yeah, May 25th, huh?
May 11th.
Much closer. May 11th,
is it?
Yeah, yeah, the target date, they
I didn't even know about it until NASA told me.
Here's the thing. Supposedly, the target date is May 11th, give or take, 11 hours, 11 minutes.
Yeah, they're talking at 2351, which is, you know, 1151 p.m. Universal Time. And that would be about 4:53 Central Time. But the give or take, yeah, the window is over 22 hours,
mm-hmm.
11 at plus or minus 11 hours and 11 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Of course, 11
really
is a very Luciferian number.
It signs in the sky, doesn't it?
It yes. does.
It
really does.
And man's heart's failing them for the things that come on the earth.
It really does. And we just had a conversation, or rather Derek did, with Rick Wiles, and Schwarzmann-Wachmann is the name of this comet, and it was discovered in 1927, and those two names mean silent watchman.
The root words, yeah, from which those names are derived. Of course,
wow.
those are the two men in Germany who discovered the comet. But isn't it interesting that when you put those names together in that combination, that's what you get, Silent Watchman.
Yeah, I know. It really makes you think, doesn't it? Well, you know what? We're getting close to the end, and I think that what we should do rather than start a new topic here, because there's so many things I want to ask you, and I don't want to go too long. Is there one more thing that you wanted to ask him before we break for today?
Well,
you've got that look on your face.
Yeah, just if you have a thought as to how exactly the United States. I mean, if you had to pick one.
We should have everyone wait until tomorrow for that.
Well, that would be.
That would be evil, wouldn't it?
That would be evil, yeah.
Let's do it.
Ken Parsons' website is called Winning in the War Zone, but the URL is www.warzonewinner.com.
That's right. I tend to mix those up too.
Well, you can stop by there, find out about his seminars and his teachings, other information about Ken Parsons, and we will have part three of the interview concluding tomorrow night here on PID Radio.
That's right. And if you want to send us a note, or if you want to guess about who might be saying what in the opening theme song, send us a note to radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
Had a couple of guesses today, not quite right. I will give one clue, and that is the sound clip, but we just kind of got into the habit of opening the program with a sound clip that has some relevance to what we're talking about sometimes, just because we like to do it.
Yeah.
It's no particular reason. We just
and they don't always relate to the story, the news at all. It's
no.
just that day we just feel like using that one.
But if you're going to try to take a guess at the sound clips in the opening theme, the clip that begins before the music starts, that doesn't count. Just leave that off. You don't have to worry about that one. That's just a gimme. It's the ones mixed into the music. If you can identify all of those, you will win a copy of my new novel, Iron Dragons.
That's right. And the privilege to come to our home and clean our spice jars.
But we will provide the donuts.
That's right.
Join in the forum. That's where we discuss the topics that we talk about here on the program. Peeringintodarkness.com/forum.
Well, folks, I think that wraps up enough for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow with the third installment of Ken Parsons. And until then, I am Sharon Gilbert.
I'm Derek Gilbert. Thank you for listening to PID Radio.
Bye-bye, everybody. Gonna step up to the microphone.